Hi, everyone. It's The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. Today is Juneteenth, a holiday celebrating the end of slavery in the United States 154 years ago. Members of Congress chose this symbolic day to hold hearings on reparations to discuss whether the U.S. government owes anything to the descendants of enslaved people. In light of that hearing, I'm joined by Nkechi Taifa, human rights attorney and a commissioner for the National African American Reparations Commission. She's been pushing for Congress to take up this bill for years. Nkechi, welcome back to the show.
I'm glad to be back, Tanzina.
So talk about, how significant is this hearing in the House today?
It is an absolute milestone. It's a monumental milestone because H.R. 40 is a bill that has been languishing in the Judiciary Committee for the past 30 years. There's a lot of buzz going on about reparations right now. So the fact that the hearing is happening right now is quite significant.
Can you tell us a little bit more? You mentioned H.R. 40. Can you tell us a little bit more about the specifics that are in H.R. 40?
Yes, H.R. 40 is a bill to study and develop reparation proposals for African Americans Act. It is not a bill that grants one red cent to anyone. It's a bill to establish a commission to study the issue and to develop the proposals to submit for passage. It follows the path of the successful reparations bill that occurred in 1988 for the Japanese Americans who were interned during World War II. That reparations package began with a commission, a study commission to develop proposals, just as this one does.
Nkechi, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell was asked about reparations yesterday. Here's what he had to say.
We've, tried to deal with our original sin of slavery by fighting a civil war, by passing landmark civil rights legislation. We've elected an African-American president. I think we're always a work in progress in this country, but no one currently alive was responsible for that.
Nkechi, your response to Mitch McConnell's statement?
And so I would say that we all stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. Although the present generation of whites, like McConnell, arguably, may be innocent of what their forefathers and foremothers did. As a people, they're in a privileged position because of the actions of their predecessors. Each generation passes its debts as well as its assets on to the next generation. The heritage which whites enjoy in this country is what it's been called, white skin privilege. They benefit from a society, a state, and economic structure which is governed by white supremacy. And for him to equate the presidency of Barack Obama as settlement for our reparations is just absolutely repugnant.
Nkechi, we also spoke with Congressman Jim Clyburn about reparations, and we'll have that segment on later. But he told me that the reparations discussions should not, and I repeat, should not focus on monetizing reparations. That's what he says. He says it really shouldn't be about writing checks to the descendants of slaves. What is your thought on that?
So I just want to say, with all due respect to the esteemed congressman from South Carolina, that cash payments have been part of every single major reparation settlement throughout history. With that said, although cash payments should remain an important and necessary component of any claim for damages, a reparation settlement can be fashioned in as many ways as necessary to equitably address the countless manifestations of injuries sustained from slavery and its vestiges. Some other forms of redress may include land, economic development, scholarships. There are many, many, many different ways that reparations can manifest, and cash payments is only one amongst countless, countless others to be considered.
Nkechi Taifa is an attorney and a commissioner of the National African Americans Reparation Commission. Nkechi, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks so much, Tanzina.
Now we turn to another voice on reparations and the hearing today on Capitol Hill. Representative James Clyburn, a South Carolina Democrat and the House Majority Whip. Clyburn joined us on the show on Monday to talk about the national political response to white supremacy since the church shooting in Charleston 4 years ago. But he stuck around after that conversation to talk to me about today's hearings in the House on reparations. And I asked him what he hoped would come out of the hearing and the national dialogue around the topic. Let's take a listen.
I would hope that this hearing will focus on reparations in its broadest term. I think that the reason we keep losing this discussion is because we will not treat reparations as I think it should be treated. As a former teacher of history, and I continue to be a student of history, we ought to look at this issue starting with the root word. Reparations come from the word repair. What should we do to repair the problems that have come out of slavery? And I think that we make the mistake of allowing these discussions to be monetized. I cringe every time I heard people talk about reparations in the terms of getting a check. How could you determine that kind of a value? And who can you determine? What about the people who are 25% black descendants of slavery, as opposed to the people who are 100%, or who is 50%? You cannot monetize this, but you can put programs and priorities in place to deal with the institutions. The HBCUs were forms of reparations. We've allowed over the years, while we're carrying out this discussion, for these HBCUs to be undercut, underfunded, and it's taking place right here in South Carolina as well. So what we need to do is talk about reparations in the broad sense and what we can do as a government to make amends. That's what reparations ought to be about, to make amends for slavery, not to monetize slavery or to determine who gets a check as a result of slavery. But how do we make amends to people of color, to descendants of slaves, and to the institutions that are in place to help us overcome the vestiges of that slavery?
There are folks that say that slavery was an economic benefit for whites and has created essentially the bedrock for what we see today as the racial wealth gap, where white Americans have 10 to 13 times the overall wealth that black Americans do. How do we not make reparations an economic conversation, Congressman?
Ma'am, I did not say we don't make it an economic conversation. It is an economic conversation. I said we should not monetize it. That's a difference. If you educate people, if you put money into these HBCUs, if you pick up my 10, 20, 30 plan that Bernie Sanders talks about a lot, mandating that at least 10% of all this money should go into these communities that have been made distressful as a result of us, of the vestiges of slavery. That's how it is an economic situation, and we ought to treat it as an economic situation. We ought to pump money into these communities, build them up, into these institutions, build them up, because you are never, ever going to win the argument. It's just like the 1954 Brown versus Board of Education decision. We were told in the dissenting opinion of Briggs v. Elliott that separate but equal will always be an argument. So don't try to carry determine what is separate and what is equal. Let's open a frontal attack on segregation. That's how we run the Brown decision. So what I'm saying here is let's not try to monetize this. Let's open a frontal attack on this whole issue of reparations and be very broad and exclusive, and everybody who wants to go to these HBCUs will get the benefit of education. I got a pretty good one when I came through there because they were not undercutting the school, not underfunding the school as they're doing now. They're doing it while carrying out this argument, and we are losing this issue because we will not broaden the discussion of reparations.
That was Congressman James Clyburn, Democrat of South Carolina, talking about the best way to proceed with the national discussion over slavery reparations. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.